Welcome to a new episode of Digest with Des.
Hello, people.
You know what? You didn't want nobody to know your name, so I don't even know what to call you.
You got to call me by my Insta. God, call me Spotless.
I'm not calling him.
Call me Spotless. Everybody call me that.
Okay. Where were we going with this?
We were talking about kids.
Age gaps.
And age gaps. So he was complaining like, I don't have any cousins my age. He doesn't have any cousins my age. Not on his mother's side. I swear, like, he was the last baby born on his mother's side, and before him was his mother. Like, I don't know what's going on. They stopped having kids over there. But then on my side, he was born, and then it was nobody until my niece and my nephew, my twin niece and nephew, like 7 years later. So there's a big gap. So he's like, I'm like, bro, you had stuff I didn't have. So, like, there's a trade-off.
Yeah. If you want to have everything that you want, you got to be alone. Yeah. Cassidy got a lot.
Right. Exactly what I'm saying. So I'm like, look, yo, you complained that, like, I didn't have siblings and no cousins. I'm like, you didn't have to share nothing. You ain't get no hand-me-downs. Nobody was taking your clothes. Nobody. I remember I used to complain because when I was coming up, when I was a teenager, that's when the baggy clothes was in. Mm-hmm. And my brother was stocky. He's always big and stocky. And I was slim, so my baggy clothes could fit him regular. So I used to look around for my hoodie and it's gone. And he took it, he's somewhere. And it's like, I'm like, you ain't have to worry about that, son. And now you can fit my clothes.
How far apart are you and your brother?
4 years.
And you and your sister, 10?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Why would your mom start over? That's how I feel about my mom.
Why would she what? Make the last one?
Yeah, my mom waited 13 years. Me and my brother are 13 years apart to start over. And I guess my dad also waited 13 years because his kid's from a separate marriage. Mm. My last sister is the same age as my brother on my mom's side. Mm. So they both 13 years older than me. I don't even know them people for real. Because, like, they so far away. When I was 7, my brother was having Chastity. Like, he was already making a
family
for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like, why start all the way over? You got a teenager. Why would you want a new baby in the house?
98.
But that's also, she had kids. Well, she didn't have kids young, but she had kids like 20. I think she had my brother like 23 or something.
Yeah, that's
like
that. That's when my mother made my brother too.
Yeah, yeah. She got a lot more baby making years to go. And then she met my dad, married my dad, and I guess they wanted something that was theirs, which is me. And it's been hell to pay ever since. Nobody like me. It's okay though.
23, 27, and then damn near 40 for my sister. That's like Stella Groove Back, baby.
Like, yeah, I'm not going back when I'm that old. When I'm like, I ain't even start yet. So my baby's got a good 31 to 33.
My parents,
anything over that, I'm not going to be 50 years old rolling a kindergartner.
That's what Lady Spotless be saying. She don't want to. she's like, I'm giving you like X amount of years. She don't want to have no kids after she like 30 something. She said, whatever. We'll see.
She got years.
She got some years. That's what I'm telling her.
And then you see, y'all have like a little
gap
and age difference. Yeah. So like, you a little bit ahead of her. So you got time to like take your time because she still got years ahead of her.
Word. So like, what I was saying, so my mother, yeah, she was damn near 40. And I'm not mad at that. I get it. You know, it was after the divorce, after my parents got divorced.
Oh, that's like even worse. Imagine you was your dad and you like, yeah, we older. She's just done moved on, but she ain't gonna have no babies or nothing.
It's moved on, have a whole baby. And then my sister Pops, he was man cool. I rock with him to this day. But yeah. I tell you, look, man, my pops was old too. He was 40 when he got started.
When he started having kids?
Yeah. He was 40 when they made my brother.
No, that's crazy. My parents were 40, but my dad was 40 when my mom was in her 30s. They already had kids though. So to be having your first one.
He had a whole life that he had before.
The first you were aware of.
I have a fantasy that I have what I call a grandbrother who's like, like 60 in the West Indies somewhere. And then we meet and then like they give me a bunch of money. But yeah, he came here. He left his island, because I want to stay mysterious. He left his island after a volcanic eruption sometime in the 70s.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because it messed up the business, his business. And then he went to another island for a while, and then he came to the U.S. And he was down south for a little while. He was in Alabama. And then he came up to New York because he had some people up here. And then they met in church.
That's why I don't go to church.
That's why you got to go to church.
You know, you meet men, have babies, get married. That's too much.
Listen. That's the way to go. Mm-hmm. He got him a little PYT.
I was about to say, because you said she was in her 20s and she had your brother.
Yeah.
So there was an age
gap. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, he did it the right way.
And how long were they married for?
Like 12 years. 12 years.
Oh, okay.
12 years.
Yeah, that's too much of a commitment for me. That's why I don't go to church.
That's what's wrong with this generation.
So I know what I wanted to talk to you about. So, Akilah's not here. It would have been great if Akilah was here.
Mm.
But you know what I was thinking about the other day? You see how, well, you've been privy to it because you're in the group chats, but you see how women's relationships are?
Oh,
versus
yeah.
Men's relationship?
Oh, you mean men's relationships with other
each
men?
Other, platonic friendships. Why do you think that is? Like, I feel like I have such an easier time maintaining, keeping friendship, avoiding conflict. And, like, girls are just always at each other's throats.
I think it's because men don't have guys, even include boys, we don't have a problem being directly opposed to each other in conflict with it being open in the air. Like, we could argue and disagree and call each other stupid about something. As simple as sports or as big as politics, whatever, family, whatever. And we could argue about that and fight it out and then get past it. But I think women more like a political nature. Y'all more like want to keep things smooth, so you're not going to talk about certain things or go under the rug.
No, because girls don't take it well. And I'm going to tell you a story, right? So I have this cousin, and I haven't talked to her in a long while, so I don't expect her to listen to this, but I know her friends listen to this, and I hope they take it back to her, right?
See, that's what I mean.
So I had caught... Okay, so we was all working at the same workplace, right?
Mm.
And she started dating this guy at the job. Now, I don't do stuff like that, but you can do what you want. We all adults. So she started dating the guy at the job, and people know I'm her cousin. So he's doing little things and people are coming to me because we're in a professional workplace. They don't want to be the one, like your coworker doesn't want to be like, yeah, I caught your man doing this and I caught your man doing that.
Right.
So they come to me like, we know y'all cousins, so it's not a professional thing. You could talk to her like a family member. Tell her that he's saying this and he's doing this. And I let everything pile up. I didn't really want to say anything to her because I think you got to know who each person is, and I already know, like, that's not something she would have received well.
Right, right.
So I didn't want to say anything to her, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, it's piling up, and he got you looking stupid, right? So I saw him do something with my own two eyes, and I told him, I'm going to tell her, and he laughed. And the reason that he laughed is because he knew she was not going to believe me, even though we and him is having this conversation.
Yeah.
He knows she's going to believe whatever he says, even though why would I lie to her, right? So I take it to her, right? Oh, it blows up bad. She doesn't want to talk to me. I'm a hater. I'm this, I'm that. She done went back to the family, went back to the job. She's livid. Like, she's livid. And I'm telling her stuff that's, like, legitimate concerns, right? Like, he told somebody she was his god sister. And I'm like, that's disrespectful. And why would he be trying to...
That's a sister in Christ.
No, but why would he be trying to keep the relationship a secret to the point where he's telling y'all coworkers, you his god sister? What's the secret?
What's understood don't need to be explained.
I get it. But you know what ended up happening?
Uh-huh.
What the people had told me about him, which was that he had a girlfriend that worked at the job. And essentially, like, the girlfriend's mom, I guess, like, got him the job.
That's not the person that you...
Not my cousin.
He had a whole nother
on another floor, working on another floor in the same building as us. And people was telling me that, and I didn't tell her that part. I just told her what I saw. But eventually, he ends up having a baby with that girl. So nobody was lying, but she hated me. Like, we still don't got a good relationship because
yeah, because
that.
You exposed the delusion to her. She probably knew on some level. That's why, that's a, okay, so.
But I'm not telling you don't talk to him. I just was like, hey, I want to tell you something. You could do what you want. And she had him on the phone, and he's not denying it. He's just laughing. Because he knows you're not going to believe me. Even though all the evidence is there, like 50 people know this about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But she still feels like I concocted it out of jealousy. Jealous of what? Like, what? That's what I don't understand about, like, the women dynamic. Why would I be jealous of you to make something up like that to hurt you? Like, that, I don't get it. What is the game?
I think that's one thing with that I say is similar in men and women. Like, now, a lot of guys, they be in these weird situations with women or whatever, and... You know what I mean? That's what they do behind their closed doors, whether it's open, whether you know somebody wants to be open, but the other one don't, but they'll go along with it because they don't want to lose a person. And then one of their friends see her out with somebody else, and then he go to tell him, and then he's mad at him. Like, why are you, you know, because now you've put him into a position where he got to make a decision that he ain't want to make. So I think a lot of people, I think it's like, it's like telling somebody they got a cold sore on their lip and they know it, but they trying to act like they don't. And now they mad. Like, why are you bringing my attention to this? I think those are funny situations I don't like to be. I don't like to.
Oh, no. I'll never tell nobody again. But I think the difference with, like, your friend and your cousin is, I think we're blood related. Like, our mothers and sisters. So I wouldn't have you. And it's not like this was a random situation in the street. If I just saw him do something in the street, I might not have told her and let her live in her stupidity, blissful bubble.
Mm.
But people, this is the place you work. So this is embarrassing beyond, like, your personal life is bleeding into your professional life. So now I need to give you some awareness because people, when I say people, I mean, like, supervisors and stuff. Like, the attorneys that we were working with. Those people shouldn't even know about your personal life. But it really shouldn't be spilling into, like, they catching him doing stuff and it's becoming, like, a drama for the workplace. You know what I mean?
Right. So, yeah, that's ugly. That's nasty.
And that's exactly why I don't date people that I work with. Because that's, I don't even want to almost open the door. Right. But with her, if that wasn't the case, I probably would have never said a thing. But you my cousin, and this is, like, a humiliation. Like, he's humiliating you at the workplace. Because he's doing stuff in public. Like, he's not even trying to be, to me, he wasn't even caring about if it got back to you because he's doing it in the front of the, in the main entrance. Like, that's just careless.
So that'll tell you a lot.
Desire more.
To me, that tell me a lot about, like, what their relationship is. So it's, if I'm on the outside looking, I don't know any of these people, but if she's upset at you that you brought this to her, he don't seem fearful at all that information is going to get back to her that he could lose her, then it just sounds to me like she's probably putting the relationship off to be more than it is, and he just don't care. So it's like, yo, whatever, I got this other chick up on the 15th floor, I'm down here on the 8th floor, I'm running around doing whatever, and I got you, boom, boom. It just so happened that, you know, the third one that I like, her cousin work here, but it is what it is. And your cousin is, you know what I mean, passing it off to be more than it is. Because clearly she liked the dude more than he liked her. That's what it sounds like.
You know what's crazy? As a woman, I could feel like she isn't passing it off to be more than what it is. Because men, they really lie. And I think they lie to each other. No, because I promise you, they will be like, I had a boy ask me to marry him. Do you think that boy, if I would have actually pursued, like, what was saying, man, we would have never made it to the altar. We would have never made it to the courthouse. But he was, like, really in, like, let's get married. But in the public, I'm sure he would act like he don't know what I'm talking about.
Lying,
like,
to himself, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But creating that whole, and I almost feel like, I always say this, I feel like that's a bit of mental illness because you don't even need to exaggerate the lies that much. Because honestly, we all adults, and if I'm trying to, you know, fuck with you, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. You don't really need to do that. Like, the minute that a man walk in the room, I feel like all women can agree with this. You know, more or less, like, he's cute. I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm not necessarily trying to get to know your mother and your family.
Right.
You know? So I don't need that to know I'm going to be dealing with you.
That's a problem, I think, with a lot of guys. They sell a dream. It's like you going over, you overselling because you have a lack of belief in yourself that you could, if, like a lot of women say, oh, you know, just tell me if you just want to, excuse me, if you just want to have sex, let me know and I'll make the decision. And there's a funny meme that I saw. It's like, you see, it's like an animated meme. It's like a guy, a girl says, if you just want to have sex, just say that. And then like the dude walk up to her and he like, I just want to have sex. And then you just, the next frame is like her turn around, no thanks, and walk away. And he like, damn it. So I think that's what a lot of guys who like immature guys, and they feel like they got to just sell you a whole dream. They got to fill your head up with a whole bunch of bubbles to make you think, I think he want a relationship. I think he want a family. I think all that just to have sex with her. And then on the back end, like I'll say, women, a scorned woman is like a kamikaze pilot. She will fly her plane into your ship just to torpedo you because you hurt her. You wronged her. So she don't care. She gonna air everything out in the public, all your dirty laundry, everything, every stupid thing you did, even if it tarnished her, she gotta hit you. Because you played with her in the dark and then you came out in the light playing like, oh nah, like she crazy. But you selling her a dream. And she believed it. So she like, okay, now we both gotta die. Reputation wise.
Yeah, that's crazy. Honestly, people could believe what they want to believe. I wouldn't even care. Cause I really don't want to look stupid in public. Cause you still look stupid that you even accepted it. Cause when you start getting down to the details and it'd be like, okay, a guy filled your head up with lies, but how did he act? Like, what did he do behind the words? 9 times out of 10, he did nothing behind the words. So you mm-hmm. believed him because you wanted to believe him. Mm-hmm. And you did just, like, you betrayed yourself. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because you should have required more for yourself. Of course, he don't. He don't have to if you believe it. Also, to the whole, like, men, women say to, like, be honest if you want to have sex. And then a guy says, I just want to have sex. And a girl says, like, nah, I'm good, and walk away from the situation.
Yeah.
I feel like if you feel like that means you should lie.
Sucker.
Yes, but also, like, you know that changes consent, right? Like, right. If I'm consenting to a lie, then that means when you tell me the truth.
Hold on, what you trying to say? That's a form of rape?
Nah, not a form of rape, but I'm just saying, sure. Like, you got consent under false pretenses, right? Like,
yeah, that's part of the game.
To be a part of
it's manufactured consent.
Yes.
But that's what the government do to us all the time.
Okay.
So, it's a shout out to Noam Chomsky. Is it Noam? Yes, Noam Chomsky, manufactured consent. Go find that lecture if you're listening. But, you know, it's first of all, when women say that, that only applies to, like, if you want to, like, rating people on a scale, I feel like that only applies to guys that's, like, 8.5 and up. That if you want to have sex, just say that. No.
That's subjective because I only have to view you as an 8.5. You might to be a her, 5.
That's correct. To somebody that's correct. Else. Yeah, yes. And it's subjective. Thank you for saying that. Depending on how she views you, because if she view you as, like, a 6, then you better do the whole notebook. You better do every romantic thing. You might as well, just, like, you know, I there's too much guys out here chasing sex anyway, rather than, like, trying to build themselves up as a human being. So, that's the problem anyway. Everybody, these niggas running around, horny as hell, trying to be players and shit like that.
Oh, so this brings me to my next question. Okay. So, you know what I hate the most? Like, you know when you listen to the podcast, and I feel like especially in our community, the podcasts are centered around, like, sex, relationships, and that's it. Mm. And I wonder if, because, I mean, in comparison to other communities, I feel like they push education, stability, family values, religion, things like that, the basis that leads to, like, a solid foundation. And then it's like you stay at home till you 30, right? You save up all your money, you build your career, then you seek out love. And I think you have a better experience with love because you're a whole person and you're not looking for somebody to, like, fill in spots in your life. You're looking for someone to add to because your life is already full. Mm. But I wonder if that's a part of, like, and I'm not even wondering, I feel like it is the downfall in like the Black community of why we do have so many issues, and people will say like economically we're behind, you know, family wise we're behind. Like they claim we have a lot of broken family, marriage is not at the forefront for majority of us, whereas like, you know, most of the white nurses in nursing school are already engaged, prepared to be married by their last year. Mm-hmm. And that's not a reality for a lot of Black women. So I wonder if we shifted away from like all we need to talk about is sex in relationships, if our community would be further and more solid.
So you see in the, am I correct in saying you see this as a symptom? You see the podcast conversations or whatever as a symptom of a larger problem or as a cause?
It's a symptom, but it's also, so it's a symptom for one generation, but it's going to be a cause for the next, right?
Symptom of the prior generation. Like, right. Okay, all right.
Because well, that generation is already filled with a brokenness, so that's their focus. But the new generation is not going to know anything but that, because that is what's being poured into them through social media and things, which is where majority of them are. Like, they're not outside playing and stuff like we used to be. They're on the internet, and this is all the content that they see.
And when you say other communities, you mean white people? Like, what?
Well, I won't say white people. I'll use an example of the Asian community.
I'm not familiar with Asian podcasts, but I would say there's like some strong family values in like the Asian community. And when I say Asian, I mean like Indian and you know, the rest of the Asians. Much respect to y'all.
Right.
And so like the Asian community, the Jewish community, and any like strong religious sect or whatever, you know, that's because they got strong cultural guardrails, I'll say, and they account for all of these things that I would say the Western non-religious whites got to deal with and Black people got to deal with. So if you look at the in my assessment, if you look at like the non-religious, agnostic white people. The agnostic white people, look at their podcast. They're talking about the same things that the Black podcasts are talking about.
But here's the thing. The fact that they are baseline like white, right? Mm-hmm. They have a certain amount of privilege to where I feel like their community is not in dire need. Ours has been in dire need for so long. We don't have the privilege to be discussing frivolous things. Like, we really need to have other conversations.
Because we do. I think they are in, I think the American white is the lights are flashing on their board, on their dashboard. But like America, I mean, the Black, you know, Western Black people, with the West Indies or American, the same thing. But you'd ever heard like, oh, when white America catches a cold, Black America catches the flu or whatever. Like, but they are fucked up as well. They fucked up as well. You see everything that's going on these last few years in this country. The whole thing is falling apart. It seems, I think. But yeah, we need more. That's what I think is good about podcasts, because if you look at podcasts, it's like the Earn Your Leisure.
Yes.
There's a lot of them. That's just for one. And there's
I like Therapy for Black Girls.
I never heard of it, but it sounds good.
I think like those type of platforms, because you don't only have to talk about like how to get ahead economically. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different things that we can tackle besides having sex and, you know, our relationship.
Yeah.
And I think one part is mental health in our community. Another part is financial, you know, education. I think even though we are getting like the most degrees, we don't even know what to do with it. Black women right now, right? We don't even know what to do with it. So that's where the financial part is important. Mm-hmm. That's why I love Earn Your Leisure, because they give you all these different they have all these conversations with so many people to bring light some stuff that you would never even, a lot of us probably wouldn't be exposed to. You wouldn't probably see anybody in your community. Like, if you're from Marcy Projects,
right,
you probably don't have a neighbor that's buying properties and flipping them, right?
Right, right, right.
And building wealth that way. So how would you know stuff? Like, even if you Google it, you'll only learn but so much, whereas, like, a hands-on learning experience will take you a little further.
Right.
So, yeah.
I agree. Also, I think there's a imbalance. I think there's an overcorrection in the let me say this the right way. I think in the Black community, women and girls were so disenfranchised in past generations, that we kind of do a disservice to boys. Mm. Whereas, like, let's say if you Google the term, like a term like girls organization for women, organization for women and girls, like something to whether it's funding Black women owned businesses or getting girls in STEM. There's a lot of women and girls, and it's not enough of focus on what these boys, because these boys, a lot of these boys out here is lost, and so they left to TikTok and Instagram and, like, whoever, you know, drill rap and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Whoever is responsible enough around them to grab them up and be like, yo, let's be doing this. I'm gonna teach you this. I'm gonna teach you that. And I think as a community, we need. I feel like we should see 20-30% more. I don't see any boys and young men organizations. Like, where are they? Where's the organizations that's like, you know, something geared towards first time fathers or something like a young man, like a young man, you 19 years old, you become a dad. Where is your safety net? Now, there's a lot of safety nets for young women, I think, right? But there's not, like, and obviously as a guy's like, yo, you gotta get it off the muscle. You gotta figure it out. But as a community, I think we could do a lot more with helping the boys. That, because, you know, these little boys turn into men. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of, you know, they make a new generation, and then we end up in these same problems. And it does no service to the community as a whole if, you know what I mean, to their credit, if women keep rising and then the boys are just kind of like floundering. Because what's going to happen? Miscegenation, that's what's going to happen.
Okay, so you're going to hate me for what I'm about to say. But you know my man, Dr. Umar, right?
Yeah.
So he was having this conversation. I can't remember what interview he did. But to your point of there's not enough, like, I will say resources for young Black men to turn to for development and just direction, right? He thinks... Whose fault is it? Black men.
That's right? True.
And
yeah, I agree.
Then a lot could be put on that, a lot that's wrong in the community, Black men are responsible for, right?
Yeah.
But I think the bigger issue in that, in years prior, you can say, like, if you ever look at the dynamic between a mother that has a son and a mother that has a daughter, right?
Oh, yeah.
A mother that has a daughter is preparing her daughter to be an independent whole person that goes out in the world. She'll be able to cook, clean, work, produce for herself, and she'll be a productive member of society. Mm-hmm. But the way in which they handle their boys, right? Mm-hmm. Like, my cousin doesn't make his own plate. My cousin is 30-something years old with an 8-year-old.
Who's making his plate?
His mother.
He married?
No, but he's been in relationships. But the problem is, okay, like, that's a standard that I feel like even in my family I see, like, the men will sit, the women are supposed to cook and bring you your food. But, like, why you can't? But no, and that's a problem because a lot of them don't know how to cook, don't know how to do certain things for themselves.
Yeah, there's no balance. Yeah.
Yes, and you have to give both your kids those tools because we both got to go out into society. But I'm not blaming the mothers. I'm just saying, like, that dynamic, I feel like, has created a lot of our men who don't even know how to be accountable and be present right. in their community.
I agree.
Because they just stuck in that.
Mama's boy.
Yes.
I think a lot of these guys, in my, like I say, like my generation and a lot of guys like that, where it's like you, like the women are raised to, like you said, women are raised to be responsible, smart, do all of these, And the boys are kind of, a lot of the boys are coddled, Now, it's a lot of situations where they weren't grabbed by men and being and ushered into manhood.
Mm-hmm.
A mother can raise a boy how to be a good boy, but she's not going to be able to raise a man into being like a really full man. It's going to there's got to be some other masculine influence for him to pattern himself after, whether it's conscious or subconscious. He's gonna have to model himself after a man, after some male archetype, and the mother, if she's a woman, he's not gonna see that in his mother. So, like, that is a big problem, because it is good. I think people go overboard with teaching. Like, for instance, if you're a mother, you want to give your son, this is my king, this is my, yeah. You know what I mean? That whole thing.
And that dynamic is basically incest, I'm just saying, because why is your son your king? Why right. is he the helm of your household? He's a kid.
Right.
That's such a weird dynamic to make your son, like, the man in your life, so you got to give him everything.
Because I think it's it's misguided, like, I'm gonna do for you what I couldn't, you know, like, or like, your father don't deserve this type of love. I'm going to love you the way I want to be loved, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And that's why it's important to have, you know, it's ideal to have a mother and a father in a household, because, you know, I mean, there's certain things where the mother might want to coddle the son
mm-hmm.
in a certain way. And the father, like, I'll give you an example from my life. With my son, Junior Spotless, I remember he had a karate tournament. He tired of me telling the story, but I remember he had a karate tournament some many moons ago. And it was time, like, he was supposed to fight in the tournament, but he was also supposed to show his stances and, like, how he, whatever. And, so I remember before the tournament, I'm like, all right, we in the house. I'm like, all right, we're going to run through everything you have to do, all your poses. I say the name, you do the thing. We're going to do a light little spar or whatever. But he was younger at the time. He was like, maybe he was in first grade, second. No. He was like second grade, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, we're going to run through this. We're going to run through it. He's dressed and we ready to go, right? I don't want to do it. I'm like, no, you're doing it. So I remember his mother at the time, she, who is not even a softie like that, but when she saw that dynamic, she was like, no, it's okay. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to, he started crying. I'm like, no. I was like, no, you're doing this. We're doing this now. Over my dead body, are you not doing some form of practice? Because you can't set certain precedents. Sometimes you have to push it into the person, like into your son or your nephew or whatever. Like, certain preparations have to be made for success. Your mother's not always going to be there to hug you and tell you it's going to be okay. So it's like, I don't care what your mother's saying right now. You doing this right now, throw up them poses, come at me. Blah, blah, and I'm going to come at you, blah, blah, blah. He cried. I brought him right in the dining room. I'm like, all right, fuck all that. Let's do this. We did it. He was fine, because I know my son and I know how it is. Any little boy, you're going to cry a little bit and then you level out and all right, now let's get it done. He went to the tournament. He fought in the tournament. He did good. He got the next belt. He ran through the whole, his first tournament, he ran through the whole, everybody he had to fight. He only got beat by the first and the second place kids. He ended up getting third place. And those two boys were like a couple grades older than him. But he beat everybody else. And he did good. And he was proud of himself. And I bought him a PlayStation that day.
Oh,
just
wow.
To let him know, like, I was like, yo, I'm proud of you. You did what you had to do. You showed you had some nuts. You know what I mean? I'm proud of that. And, like, sometimes you gotta just go balls to the wall. Sometimes you gotta just thug it out, dig deep in your guts, and go get it. A father's gonna have a cold approach sometimes when it's necessary. So sometimes, like, I don't care if you're crying, son. I don't care if you're crying. I don't care if you're confused. Figure it out. Figure it out. I'm not gonna tell you what to do. Figure it out. And, you know, I think when a mother's forced into being playing that role, it's a disservice to her. Because she shouldn't have to take that role.
Mm-hmm. My mother did it effortlessly. I wouldn't say she was forced,
mm-hmm.
but I think something is mentally wrong with that lady. But it really worked out mm-hmm. because both me and my brother, I will say, like, amongst all the people, like, in my family or whatever, my mom is very, like, if you crying, what are you crying for? Because I'm 5 and I'm crying. But that's not how she approaches things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, she see a tear, she dears you. Like, not to say this is healthy, because it wasn't healthy. But what it right. built me for, I feel like I'm just different compared to, like, maybe my cousins who my aunts might have hugged them when they cried.
Right.
My mom didn't give that to me and my brothers. So, like, the way we approach stuff... I will say this. We don't have emotional regulation.
Mm.
I think that about him as well. I don't know if he thinks that about himself.
Your brother?
Yeah, but I feel like, and I think that that's a commonality between the both of us, because even though we're really far apart in age, the commonality is her. So, like, even though we both had different dads, both of us had 13 years away from each other, I don't think either one of us, we handle it differently. But I think, like, he's quick to anger.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm quick to anger, but I'm quick to emotions. Like, I have a very, I think it's a varying degree, but I have, like, a lot of emotions. Like, I can see a pigeon dead in the street and I'm going to cry.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, is that really something that warrants a cry? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But I never regulated my emotions, because her thing was, like, you don't cry. Like, keep going. And that mm-hmm. that made me strong for certain situations. I wouldn't say I give up on things quickly. I think that I have a very competitive nature of, like, I gotta finish. I gotta go. I gotta mm-hmm. do. But on the downside, I don't even know how to, like, properly cry.
Right. I feel
so I cry for everything. And I feel like he don't cry for enough. He just is angry very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's quick to, you know... argument take place, and I feel like things that may not need to be escalated, he's quicker to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
what's his relationship like with his dad, if we could talk about that?
I can't really speak to his relationship with his dad because, again, he's 13 years older than me.
Yeah, true.
I know his dad. I think his dad is a great man now, mm-hmm. but I know that his dad has went through things that, like, made
when
him that
in his formative
man.
Years,
yeah,
it wasn't that's a lot like my brother. Like, what my brother 4 years older than me, when my dad, like, he used to, back in those days, he used to drink a lot,
mm-hmm.
and they went through, like, him and my parents, it was kind of tumultuous during some of those years. My brother remembered some things that I don't remember, so my brother has certain trauma, he has certain hangups with my dad that I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, because I don't remember most like fighting and arguing. I don't really remember it, because he like, yo, you don't understand. You was a baby.
Right.
You don't get it. So, like, there's certain things, and it's like, I get that. I can see that. And it's like, you know, my dad came a long way, but, you know what I mean, you still have to deal with the trauma as a kid, especially dealing with certain shit in your formative years. Like,
mm-hmm.
you have to deal with that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's in there. Like, you feel like it's, like, the way he's playing, he's like, yo, it's baked into me right now. Like, that's how I feel. And it's hard to get rid of it. Like, I see it in my head. Like, I see the fight and I see, you know what I mean? Like, so it's, like, it's hard for me now. I experience it on an intellectual level. Like, yeah, I could see why that would, and I could see why this will upset you, or I don't like this, or. I remember I went through a time, like, I didn't talk to my dad for a long time. Like, not really talked. Like, I spoke to him, but I didn't really let him in for a long time. And then it was probably was around closest to the time when my son was born, when I was like, yo, you know what? I was thinking about him, like, I wouldn't want to be where my dad is with me, with my son. So I was like, I gotta figure this out and just kind of
that's how I am. Yeah. I think, you know what? My brother, I'm gonna give him credit in the sense of, like, although we had the same mother, we grew up at different stages in society. My brother is born in the 80s, so more so like a kid in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I was born in the 90s, so I was more so a kid in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. His dad, I think in his case, my mother was a single mother by choice. Like, yeah, she pushed his dad away for whatever reason. But in my case, my dad was deceased. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, it was always, and I feel like I also had a different relationship with my mother.
She was a different person.
Yeah, she was a different person, but also the dynamic that, and we said this previously, the dynamic that women have with their sons versus their daughters.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say me and my mother was in a competition, but it was a lot more, in my opinion, like, volatile, because we're both female.
Right.
Whereas she was a tough parent to both of us, but she could get up and fight me, right? Once my brother hit a certain age, this is
there's no point to it. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that for me, I'm more like, not to say he's not a great dad, but I'm just saying, I feel like I want to resolve those things in myself before I ever have kids.
Yeah.
And I feel like things are more important to me in terms of, like, my family is always having a conversation of, like, oh, you're getting older, you should have kids.
Right.
To me, it's more important that I have, like, a solid foundation, a solid person, gain the emotional regulation that I feel like I still don't have, and, like, I'm stable, so I can create a stable person.
Right.
And foundation, I'm not going to say he's not like that. I just think that sometimes when, like, where we disagree in parenting, like, I'm an aunt, so sometimes I have to jump in for little things.
Yeah.
But where we disagree usually in, like, parenting is, I feel like he still has things like my mom in him that he don't even realize is like that.
Yeah,
and I'm going really far away from that. So then we'll be disagreeing. Like, you know, when he says, okay, you should talk to her about this. And I'm like, well, my opinion is this. And he's like, oh, well, that's not my opinion. And I'm like, yeah, because you like what we grew up like. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I'm so far away from that because I'm trying to, and I've been in therapy.
It's intentional.
I feel like I'm very opposite of her because of that.
Mm.
I think you gotta, I feel like going to therapy and, like, healing, like, traumas and stuff like that should be, like, a prerequisite of having children. Having
kids.
Yeah.
What do you think is the best, sometimes I think about this a lot, especially, you know, your parents get older, they pass, you become parent, and, like, sometimes I think, like, what we all have good and bad qualities in us, and, like, I guess, like, tendencies that kind of direct how we make decisions and things in our lives. What do you think is, and, like, for all our parents' faults, what do you think is, I guess, the best of your mother that you carry?
This is going to sound horrible. I don't think my mother has any best of my mother. And you know what? Honestly, a couple years ago, that was, like, a real point of contention for us. Like, we were still fighting.
Mm.
And it was volatile. Like, anybody in my family could tell you, like, it could turn to blows very quickly between the two of us.
Mm.
But now I kind of have realized, like, she's my mother, but she's been my mother for, like, 26 years. She's been herself for 60 years. So I kind of have to accept that, like, I feel like she's not a good person to me, right? Like, as my mother, she didn't give me what I needed. She's not who I would have chose.
Mm-hmm.
But she must be something to somebody else, right? Because people chose her, partners. She has friends, people who choose her to be in their life. My cousins get a different version of her.
That's what I mean.
Kids get a different version of her. I don't see it. I think it's fake. Because the version of her that I'm getting that's been most consistent for my whole entire life is this way.
Mm. So you don't see any quality that you like. You'd be like, oh, I guess I'm similar in that way.
I think it's things I'm similar in, but I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think I have her, she's coming.
Yeah, she's coming up.
She's coming up right now. Mm-hmm. What I was about to say?
We talking about quality.
From her, honestly. Mm. Well, people will tell you I have something from her because...
You don't see it. Well, it's the same way. Wouldn't it be similar to what you said about your brother? Whereas he doesn't see how he is similar to your mom in certain ways.
I think, and I've gone to therapy with this. I go to therapy. So I've talked to my therapist about this. I think I'm a very, like, reflective person. And I can see stuff. Like, I am not in denial about stuff. I know there's bad parts about me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's like her.
I didn't
think
her bad. Level That's of what I'm thinking.
Good, no, bad or good, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's like her. Her degree of a person, mm-hmm. I think I'm complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people who know me and have seen both of my parents, they'll say I'm more like my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't see much of anything from her, right?
Okay.
But I think that's because I've resisted. Mm-hmm. Like, when God took my father away, like, that day I was like, okay, I'm going to be anybody but her.
How old?
I was five.
Five, okay.
But I feel like I almost feel like that's the day, like, my self-awareness started.
You know?
Because, like, life just became, like, okay. Like, that's where my memory started. Like, I could remember things.
Awareness. Like, yes. Okay.
So I was aware of the world and aware of stuff like that. And I was just like, this woman is an alcoholic. If y'all notice, I don't drink. Mm-hmm. Right? I've never experimented, tried weed, drugs, anything like that. Not to say, like, she was, but I feel like she... herself may have been altered from substances.
Mm-hmm.
I will never do that, right? I think she is really not good with, like, emotions, right? She won't be able to tell people she loves them. She won't be able to hug you unless it's, like, a worst-case scenario. Like, obviously, when she was, like, sick and stuff like that, those things kind of changed. But as soon as she felt like God gave her, like, a second chance, I feel like herself came back, which is fine. That's who she is. I don't expect her to change. But I don't feel like I'm anything like that. And no one that knows, like, us ever says that. The only person who has ever said to me I'm like my mom is a person who is doing it because they know I don't want to be like my mom.
So they throw it at you.
Yes. So then I'm like, that ain't real. Because if you're saying that in the middle of an argument because you know that's not something I want to hear, then you don't really think I'm like that. Because why you ain't never say that before?
Oh, well, okay. In a normal sense, when everything is cool, what do you think is the possibility of when in moments of, like, heightened emotions or tense situations, sometimes people have a tendency to revert to certain ways? Not to say that it was ever your baseline, but I'm just saying, you ever think, like sometimes my son might piss me off. He'd do something, and then I will react saying something that my mother would have said that used to annoy me when I was a kid. Not that it was some toxic shit, but just, I'm like, oh, wow, damn. Or my dad might have said, and I'm like, oh, damn, that shit was really in my programming. And I didn't even realize it, but now I'm seeing it from that point of view. You ever think there's anything where we really digesting with this today. You ever think that's something that you ever react in a way, I don't know, good or bad? No, not at all.
No, because you know what? She was violent. I've made a conscious decision to stay away from violence. Mm-hmm. I would never put my hands on my kids. I don't do it with my nieces. I would not, like, you know how family, like, I feel like, especially in the Black community, it's like, pop that kid. She was, never do that. I feel like I am quicker to, like, a love approach. I have much more patience than her. And these are all intentional things. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I am trying. Now, who knows if I never tried, maybe I would be more like her and things would come out. But I've been trying for like 21 years. So I don't think it's even in me to, mm-hmm. you know, have that sort of reaction.
That's a real interesting convo too with whooping your kids. Because there's so much nuance to it. Like, I got I got whoopings when I was a kid. I got my ass whooped when I was a kid. My parents Caribbean. But only for my mom, my dad never. My dad never. But, you know, it was like he had trauma related to that. Because he didn't have his parents when he was a kid. And he got ass whoopings, but like I guess it must have been excessive. So he was like, I'm not whooping my kid. I'm not beating my kid. He wasn't against it happening. He just
mm-hmm. He wasn't gonna be the one to dish it out.
He used to just look at us and then he'd like get it together. I got the whoopings from my mom, but I was a fighting ass bad little kid. So I some stuff I get it. I don't think I ever had like a really excessive one. But the way it played out with my son, when he was smaller, he was kind of similar to me. Like he had plenty fights and stuff like that. He was kind of aggressive. Well, I mean, not like excessively aggressive, but like he wasn't a bully, but he definitely wasn't a pushover. So he was in that range where sometimes it'd go down or like he'd say something smart. Or if it, like, you know what I mean? Something where you might have to get some spanks on your ass. And he got them. But at a certain point, it was like, it do more harm than good. It doesn't really, if you have to whoop your kid, I think you failed in some way of getting the message across. Like, you failed reason. Like, because your kid could reason. If they're old enough to reason with you, if you could walk with me and understand what I'm saying, I don't have to put my hand, like, I lost control of what, you know, I lost control of my emotions. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Come here. But it's like, no, maybe I misstep in some way. So I'm like, you could sit down. We could talk. We could, you know, teach you about emotional regulation, all of that stuff, and just being a reasonable human. So I stopped that. And with my daughter now, you know, I can't even foresee it. Like I had
also
this
a daughter, so
right? Of course,
that's gonna be a different.
It's a totally different type of relationship. Because with my son, it's like, yo, you want them to kind of like pattern themselves similar to you, but you don't want them to be like you. You want them to be better than you. So you kind of like you looking back, like, oh, what's all the ways that I could have been a better human? Okay, well, you do that. Do what I say. Do this. Do that. Do that. Do that. You try to like. Put them in environments where they can like learn things and, you know what I mean? Teach, I want you to know by 15 what I knew when I was 20. I want you to, you know what I mean? Like, I want you to give every advantage I can to you and you could be tough with them, but it's totally different with the girls, obviously. And now me and my fiance, when we speak about this, we spoke about this, right? She never got a whoop. She's like one of them kids. She never got a whoop and never been in a fight.
So was she not, like, she never did anything, or was her mom just not a parent to...
According to her, she never did. She wasn't like, according to her, she ain't never, she was the perfect child, which I don't believe.
Thank you for tuning in to Digest with Des. I hope to see you again in the next episode.